The country is desperate for someone to show us the way. Not the old way, but a new way.
The Uchi Show. Uchi.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present for your intellectual and philosophical pleasure
the Uchi Show.
You know, no, I can't believe the fucking kids. Everybody talking about kids. Everybody talking about how bad kids is. You know it's bad. But see, you can't say kids bad. I say it for you. These motherfuckers bad. I will fuck a kid up. Don't get mad at me. I'm just saying what you can't say. You feel the same goddamn way out here. Some bitch kids are goddamn smart for me. Sassy, talking head, shaking and shit. Talk to the hand, talk to the hand. Some from the old school, I'll kick a kid ass. When a kid get 1 year old, I believe you got the right to hit him in the throat or the stomach. If you're grown enough to talk back, you're grown enough to get fucked up. Don't tell me all this here. See, it ain't the kid, it's us. See, we're some punk-ass parents, see. See, we the pussy-ass parents today. See, I need to go back to old school because there ain't no grandmamas no more. Ain't that a bitch? See, ain't no grandmama. Remember Big Mama? See, Big Mama gone. See, you're a grandmama now, what, you 24? Great-grandmama 36. Talking about I ain't babysitting shit.
Hello, who's this?
Who's this?
Ed, I have a joke for you. Knock, knock.
Well, who's Ed now? I don't want to know.
No, you're supposed to say, who's there? Knock, knock.
Well, who is over there?
I got you, lady. That's a good one, isn't it? Okay, let's do another one. Knock, knock.
Lady? What are you talking about, a lady?
Yeah.
What kind of a lady's voice do you think you're hearing?
Yeah, you sound like my mommy. Knock, knock.
Mm.
Knock, knock.
Come on, boy, let's get busy here.
Knock, knock.
Who's there, then?
That's good, yeah, I got you. Knock, knock.
Goofball?
Stop being a goofball.
I don't like knock, knock jokes.
No? No. All right, then I'll tell you another one, then, lady.
Quit calling me a lady.
You sound pretty, lady. Are you pretty?
If I knew who was calling here, I'd sure...
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
I got you. Yay! I got you. That's a good one, isn't it?
Say, who's laughing? Not me.
Knock, knock.
Man, you're getting on my nerves, I'll tell you for sure.
Lady, you don't sound like you're in a good mood. Do you have a baby coming or something?
Who are you trying to embarrass, anyway? Talking about a baby coming and talking to a man.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you, goofball?
You're a knucklehead.
Well, you're a goofball.
And you're a knucklehead.
No, I'm not. I'm not a knucklehead.
Are you lonely, like me?
No, I'm not lonely. I'm a married man.
Okay. Do you ever play with your vagina?
Hey.
What?
Where are you coming from here?
I come from my house.
Sound me like you're a low bred.
Bread makes me poop. I gotta go poop, lady.
Nothing more than who I am. Big Show is on in full effect. My name is Uchi. Welcome on into the Uchi Show, man. Thank you so much for spending a part of your Friday night with us tonight live. Yo, as I always do, let me bring in my co-host, my confidant, my right hand. Jimmy, welcome to the show, dog.
Yo, thanks.
Yo, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing awesomely fantastic. And finally back from, not hiatus, but a workaholic's time. Mr. Buford is back. What's up, bro? How are you?
What's up, my brother?
I'm doing fantastic, man. And by the way, I feel like I'm starting this off tonight. I sound like I have a little bit of a cold, but I don't. Once again, I'm in the New York studios. But I got to bring this up. Last week's show we did, I kind of said to myself when I heard the rewind on Itchy 24/7, I said, what the fuck? I sounded nasally. And I said to myself, something is off, man. And lo and behold, dude, I go back, and I'm surprised you didn't catch this, Jim. I have no idea. Maybe it's your fucking age.
I heard it.
I think it's your fucking age that you didn't catch the fact that I had no bass on this mic at all.
You know, I just thought you were feeling a little under the weather from traveling so much, and I just didn't want to say anything.
I was going to play that role, like, yeah, I'm sick, so we'll leave it alone. But I'm listening to it, and I'm not aggravated, but I'm like, what the fuck, dude? And what happened is when the studio was set up, because things had to be put in place, apparently the liberty was taken to touch the low button on the EQ and take it all the way down to zero.
Oh, you mean like how you always make me turn my bass down?
Yeah, because you have that mic with the bass.
But, oh, I'm sorry.
But I'm sorry. This thing, for some apparent reason, I'm sitting there, I'm going, man, I don't sound like myself. And this is what I sounded like. This is exactly, you see now, right now, it sounds like I'm nasally.
Yep.
This is exactly what it was last week. And I'm sitting there going, oh, I sound like I got snots up my fucking nose. When I should sound like this. You see?
Yeah.
That's, people don't understand it. The sexy was taken out of my voice last week.
I just thought it was a combination of maybe you feeling under the weather and you sucking on them white things all night.
Yeah, I got another white one to suck on. I got two tonight. Actually, right before we went on the air, I told Buford to run up and go grab a couple of white ones.
There you go. You know, you do realize the deeper the guy's voice, the less potent and the less sperm count the guy has, the less testosterone, believe it or not. That is a medical fact.
Let me ask you a question, Dr. Fucking Hootaba. What the fuck?
Dr. Fucking Voice of Reason.
Dr. Fucking Hootada, dick. What the fuck does that got to do with what I'm talking about with a nasally fucking mic? Please enlighten me on your fucking stupidity right now.
Okay, you said the sexy was taken out of my voice.
And I meant that because the bass level on the mic was dropped, not that my fucking penis is in my fucking asshole.
No, that's not what I meant.
You were going in that direction.
Women are attracted to guys
with low sperm count,
deep voices, the guys that have the big muscles, mutant, the whole bit. And those are the guys with the
mutant.
You're a dick. Those are the guys, believe it or not, that have
mutant
lower testosterone level and the lower potency of sperm. It's a medical fact.
Mine's got to be high, because I can shoot a wad now.
Excuse me a second. What are you babbling about?
Albu's stupidity? God. You know, it's got to help sperm count, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. You open the door up, and this guy comes and just kicks it closed with something fucking dumb right behind it.
Hey, as long as he ain't sitting on the toilet when I open that door, I'm all set.
He could be.
We're live.
He doesn't shit with the door closed. You tend to seem to kind of forget that, don't you?
Well, no, I think what we're going to do in the new studio, when I build the new studio, I'm going to have the three stools set up, but one of them is going to be an actual plumbed-in working toilet. So he could just sit there at the console.
Yeah.
On the throne, so if he's got a shit, he can just squeeze it off.
Yeah,
you don't gotta move.
But can you attach like a plastic container tube underneath it so when he craps, you can actually watch it go down?
You know, if someone can make us, if they can make us a transparent toilet, I'll install it.
Probably can get one. A bar stool / transparent toilet.
We're live.
Like out of plexiglass or something.
Something like Wonder Woman's plane.
There you go. They'd rather have Wonder Woman's tits to like motorboat in.
Idiot.
Well, anyway, now that we're done with that and you talking about my sexy coming out of my voice, it's back this week. Thanks. Yeah, and you know what? I feel like I'm going to start this off by being like you. I'm going to be Jim right now because I'm probably, I don't know how many miles I am south of him, but I'm south of him in New York. But the big thing I want to talk about is it was like 90 degrees on Monday here, right?
It was great.
It was summertime in New York.
In Florida.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cooler in Florida. That was the funny part about it. I got so many phone calls. And I got a text from a couple of good friends of mine down there, like, you fucking ass. And this is the way my texts read. I have friends like this, and I don't know if you have friends like this. Well, actually, I do that to you and you do it to me, so I can't say you and I both know what I'm talking about. But it just starts off with, hey, asshole, fucking moron, and shit. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Why do I give my number to these people? I have no idea why. You know, even close friends, I shouldn't. I mean, you do stupid shit. You send me stupid shit all the time, cursing and all that. So the people in Florida are no different than you. So I'm sitting there and I'm going, what the fuck is this? You know, why am I? And I said, well, I put question mark, what dick? You know, like, what did I do now? Well, you took the heat away from Florida. What? Really? I did what?
I love it when you come north because you bring the weather with you. Whenever it's warm, I'm like, Joe's up in the New York studios.
Yeah, everybody says that. You're not the only one. Everybody says that when I'm up here, and I've been posting like crazy on my personal Instagram. I know we talked about that last week with the Kardashian chick, but I've had and it's funny because on my iPhone I've actually had an Instagram app on there, and I finally got to playing around with it, and I said, what the fuck is this? Because you know everybody talks about the Instagram, but let me finish my first thing, because you know how we go into one thing and it leads to another and we don't stop and then we come back 55 minutes later to finish up the first part of the conversation. So the big thing is, well, I think I completed it. You just said that. You actually completed what I was going to say about the weather. So let me get out of my fucking dickbag fucking rendition here and go into something else.
Brilliant!
But speaking of the Instagram, like I said, I actually got a chance to fuck around it on my iPhone. And what it does is, it's pretty cool because it turns your ordinary iPhone photos, you can actually do like 8 different things to them. There's like a pro gloss or, you know, old-fashioned 1977. You click it and the picture looks like it's black and white. Mm-hmm. And I've taken some really, really nice shots of the city. I think beautiful. Did I send you a couple in email?
Yeah, I got a beautiful picture of the bridge.
Yeah, I sent you the Brooklyn Bridge. Jim, I'll forward these over to you, but I didn't send you guys the Instagram ones. Where they're touched up with Instagram, and I sent one to a buddy of mine in Florida, and he immediately shot back, and he's like, "Dude, what kind of camera was that? It's pretty pro grade." I'm like, "Camera, it's my fucking iPhone." Then I explained it to him. So, but that's basically what the Instagramming is for people that don't know that. It's a timeline of photos. If you're someplace, you take a photo, you put a caption. Same thing like Facebook or you're doing with Twitter. You know what I mean? No fucking different. Like Buf could take a picture of himself in the toilet and like do a 1977 shit on the bowl. I mean. You know, via Instagram, it wouldn't be a big, you know, shock or surprise, but, you know, just be classic.
Mother Joker!
So that's what I ended up playing around with. And Buf, how are you, by the way? Let's get you up to speed. How are things? And we spoke on the air, Jim and I, a couple of weeks ago in regards to your journey of actually becoming an owner operator of a business. And that's saying someone with your skill set or mindset can operate a business, but we're not saying that in a negative way. But go right ahead and elaborate. I mean, how are things with you, and welcome back?
It's glad to be back after over a month of managing a liquor store by myself. It definitely took the wear and tear on me and definitely done some new work to the studio, got a new studio computer, and... things are slowly getting back to normal.
That's good to hear. And we welcome you back. I know Jim missed the hell out of you, and he said that a couple of times last week off the air as well. So,
I'll never admit to it, though.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yay! That's why we're
welcome back.
Well, I'm back in cell again. I'm ready to have some fun, boys.
All right, well, let's get rocking and rolling. And really quick, getting back into my gym rant. 90 on Monday. And then, what was it, a crisp, cool 65 on Tuesday. 40 at night. And Wednesday was like, I don't know, Wednesday was a mix in the 60s. And Thursday was actually nice. Yesterday was 70. Yep. And then it got really cool, and there's supposed to be rain Sunday night into Monday up here in New York. I don't know if you're getting that, but, yeah, I'll be up here for all that fun and excitement. So,
yeah, we're supposed to get a pretty good soak in Sunday and Monday, but you know what? We need it. We need it here in Connecticut bad.
Yeah, April showers. Yeah,
May flowers.
Beef, thank you so much for that.
Idiot.
I don't know if you've been listening to this, following this, but this is definitely big shit. But this happened over the weekend where the president, was over in Colombia and he was at a summit.
Yep.
And a good bunch of, a handful, let me say a good bunch of them, Secret Service guys, ended up stiffing a Colombian prostitute. It was like $40, dude, right? $40.
Something like that. They go down a couple days early to, make sure to join the safe and all of that. And,
right.
They need their hooker time. And
well, they actually, to be honest with you, they could write that off as a business expense. And the reason why I say they can write that off as a business expense, because somebody had to test a bet out before the president got in it.
True story.
It's true, though.
Yeah.
Don't you have to check everything to make sure the springs are proper for him? And
because you never know. It could be a bomb built into the springs or something. You got to test it.
Yeah, the minute you start bouncing on your old lady, it just fucking goes.
Yeah.
And, the one thing that the FBI was concerned with was that they wanted to make sure that they didn't share any secrets, with the prostitute, and the only thing they shared with them was the prostitute. They shared amongst each other, so I don't know what the hell they're worried about.
No, I hear you. I agree with that. But, this to me, though, and this has to show you how times are. And we're going to run one of the original stories that actually came out. We have it here loaded. We're gonna play it in a couple of minutes for those of you that are not familiar with this or those of you that don't give a flying rat's ass. But this is hysterical because, to me, everybody's like, oh, is it a black eye on the president, this and that? But how come has this ever happened before? And what I'm getting at is a sign of the times. Is if you really take a look at this, this has probably been going on for years, and they probably look. Yeah, they probably look forward to when these guys are coming down because these chicks know it's open season. And I'll give you a prime example in America here, dude. And anybody that's no bullshit in America, wherever the Super Bowl hosting city is, every single stripper, every single prostitute that can get a fucking place to go and handle their business will go do it. And I remember in Tampa, when the Super Bowl was in Tampa, I think it was, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, there were ads everywhere in the Tampa Tribune, on Craigslist, looking for one-bedroom apartment, we'll pay whatever. Please call to discuss benefits for allowing me to use the apartment will be discussed upon phone call. So you know exactly what that is. She'll rent that. You could tell $1,000 a fucking week. She'll rent that apartment for $1,000 a week because the money she's going to make a night fucking people, dude.
Oh, hell yeah.
Can pay the entire building over and over again. So to me, when these summits come to town, and getting back to what I was saying originally about the sign of the times, this has probably been going on forever, like we said. Nobody's ever got caught. Nobody's ever proved it. Because, back in the days, I think when these guys handled these summits and they handled their business with these chicks, dude, they just went about it and say, what do you want? Here's a bottle of this. Here's that. Here's $50. Here's $20. Here's a ride in the limo. Suck my dick, whatever. Fuck you. Have a good one, sweetheart. They treated him nice. These guys probably went over to like, yo, we Secret Service. We're going to fuck you, bitch. Ain't giving you no money. Fuck you. You know who we are. We're American, whatever. And in this day and age with Twitter, Facebook, and everything, everybody's got that shit. Everybody's got that shit. Everybody's got a phone that records. Years ago, a bitch didn't have a phone in her pocket that she could sit there and record her giving you a blowjob and use it against you. Nowadays, this technology, these guys, that's what she probably told them. They probably said, oh, you're bluffing. And she probably called them from somewhere going, yeah, baby, we're going to stick it up your ass. Oh, that is me. Shit. You know what I mean?
Well, exactly. And that's what I was going to say when you started in this. It's been happening forever. It's just, like you said, the technology today, you know, with the Facebook, the Twitter, all of that crap, the cell phones, it's the now generation, and everybody knows about it now, instantly. You know, she could be getting, you know, slammed from all ends and already have it up posted on her Twitter account.
Exactly.
Or her Facebook account.
Yeah.
You know.
Or photos sitting nude in the back of the Secret Service truck.
Exactly.
You know, 9 out of 10 times, tell me if I'm wrong, Jim, and Buf, you could chime in on this as well. When something like this goes down, a president or a congressman, even like Wiener, how did Wiener get busted, dude?
Twitter.
But what do you have on Twitter? Photos. Twitter. Photos.
Yeah.
Incriminating evidence. You know, like you said, and like we said, the now generation, they're able to do this. 9 out of 10 times when this stuff goes down, you tell me, there's not a photo, a video, or text message. Look at Tiger Woods, dude. How'd he get busted? Text messages out the balls on record, right or wrong?
Yo, exactly.
Well, there you go. Beef, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I just don't understand why people would post something if they know it's going to get them in trouble, just like that boy from siphoning that damn gas out of a police car, took a picture of it and posted it.
Well, that's been going on. And we've made something of this, Jim, and Buf, I think you were a part of this as well, where we've said how many of these stories that we have now are we starting to see. Is there a ratio where they're keeping count of what the percentage of people getting busted for crimes now is since the inception of Facebook? You know what I mean?
Yeah, be high.
We talked about this, and it's amazing how many times the cops or the news say that, you know, they were busted because of something that was put on a social media page. The social media is the best friend of these divorce attorneys, too. And we spoke about this a while back, too.
Yeah, for adultery.
That's the first thing. Yeah, divorce attorneys. The first thing they do is they Google the spouse's name,
right,
and look up their Facebook and Twitter accounts, and they got all the evidence there they need. It's the same thing, dude. It's the sign of the times, dude.
No, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right and correct, and that's where the problem lies. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to add a little something to that. Like my personal Facebook and my personal MySpace pages, there practically never anything on there, you know, and you know, Buf and a couple other people give me a hard time. Oh, come here, you don't post no. It's because it's my personal life. Why am I going to put that out there? There, you know, I'll do something in there in a private message with a friend or a family member or whatever. That's it. I'm not going to put it on the, what do they call it, timeline or wherever the whole world can
see.
What? That's my personal business.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And that's what people got to learn to keep themselves. They can't put stupid things out there. You know, hey, I do stupid, crazy things when I go out. We shoot darts and drink and this and that. You know, we have a blast. I mean, you see when we go and do some of the remotes that we did, the live remotes. But usually the night before and night after, you and I will go out on a personal night. But, you know, we don't post what the hell we did or anything like that.
Especially if it's sexual nature.
I mean, we may joke about it and talk about it on the show the next week.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, we don't post things out there. That's how these people get themselves into trouble. Because either they post stupid things, like Buford said, the guy siphoning the gas, whatever. Or they'll make up stupid things just because they want the attention. And then that gets them into trouble. People are freaking idiots these days with the stupid social media. That's why I don't do it.
No, well, you're absolutely right. I mean, I agree with that, too. And like on a note, like you said, a personal note, I have my Ochi account, which we all know that's for the show, just like Twitter. And I have my own personal Twitter account and my own personal Facebook. And exactly what you just said, there's two different things on both. If you had, you have both of my stuff. You do. You have all my accounts. You know my personal accounts.
Yep.
And if you were to go to them right now and log in and look at the postings, it'd be two different worlds.
Yeah.
One is of show crap and the rest of it is of personal fun stuff. You know?
Right. Well, and most of our listeners understand that, you know, I don't want to say technically we're in character when we do the show. Yeah, there's a lot of truth behind our characters, but, some of our listeners know us personally, and like, yeah, I could tell the flavor of your life in your character, but I could also tell that, you know, you aren't exactly the way you are on the radio. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And that's the difference between your personal Facebook and Twitter account and the show one. Right. Uchi comes out in the show stuff.
Exactly.
In the show Twitter.
Exactly.
And the show Facebook. And when you look at your personal one, that's your personal life with your family. There is a similarity, but I could tell if they could block off the top, the account names, I could tell which is which just by looking at what's been posted.
Exactly. Beauf, what are your thoughts on this? You agree?
Yes, sir.
There you go. Because you're a man with multiple accounts as well, and you do the same thing. I know that. And that's why, you know, Beauf, whenever I talk with you, I always say to you, what account do you want me to post that on? Because I have access to all your accounts. And out of respect for you and your privacy and your personal life, I always ask you, do I not say, hey, which one should I post on?
Yep.
And then you go ahead and tell me. All right, so let's put the story on here and take a listen. I mean, you know, one thing that I disagree with here is they're putting a spin on this as it's going to hurt the election of Obama. That's what the woman in the story tries to do. And, you know, he had nothing to do with it. This happened. These were not the people that were attached to him as his detail. These were guys, as Jim pointed out, that go down ahead to do clean sweeps to make sure the place and the facility the president's going to be staying in are safe. We all got that, right? All right, let's play the story.
We want to go back to CTV's Paul Workman over the story we were talking about earlier, the Secret Service scandal brewing. Paul, glad to have you back with us. So earlier you were mentioning that, well, basically Obama wants a rigorous investigation into this, understandably, and that he will be very angry if it's proven to be true. But how much did this really distract from the Summit of the Americas, which was happening this weekend, where all of this happened?
Now, really quick, I want to jump in here. This was the summer of the Summit of Americans. America's. Now, when he said, if it's really true, I'm going to be so pissed off. You don't think when he landed that plane, he got off that plane, he didn't pull these motherfuckers on the side and go, did you fuck her? Did you fuck her?
You know it.
I need to know if you fucked her. And was it worth it?
He's a jackass.
That's what I want to know.
You know, I'm sure, dude. I'm sure.
Yeah, he got to the bottom of it immediately as soon as he got off the plane. Beauf, what did you want to add to this?
Well, did they wear condoms?
Pussy. Have no idea.
Idiot.
I just love
that. That's always hard to say. Certainly the White House said it attracted more attention in the media than the meeting itself that was going.
Of course that attracted more attention than the meeting.
Of course.
Who cares? The Secret Services are banging Columbia broads with nice hot asses.
Mm-hmm.
No, what happened at the summit, Jim? There was a summit somewhere?
I'd tune into that story.
Yeah.
And look, it's a titillating story and a very unusual story to happen in the United States. So I think a lot of attention from certainly this country was focused on that side of the issue rather than what was happening at the conference itself. In fact,
I think this is the first time people in America actually knew that they had a summit in Colombia.
Or cared. Because it was titillating.
Yeah, it was titillating. Beauf, did you have any titillating thoughts on this?
No, not really. It was just, I guess it was a night out of fun for the OSS.
Uchi, did the guys wear condoms?
Idiot.
Looking at the newspapers and the websites here today, I think most of the headlines were about the Secret Service scandal rather than what was accomplished at the meeting.
There was a lot accomplished with the Secret Service this weekend.
Mm-hmm. There's a huge tree trunk in my ass. Okay.
You know, Buse really not really interested in this story because the prostitutes weren't BBWs.
Let's so get on that topic now, big guy.
Here we go.
BBW's out there.
Oh, I just had to welcome you back.
I got my BBWs, Jim. Fuck you, mother chucker.
That's right, mother chucker.
Anything at all was accomplished. People here are talking about it. You know, the famed Secret Service involved with prostitutes and drinking. It's a mess, really.
That's exactly right. Paul, I was going to ask you that question. You know, the idea of the Secret Service being held to a very high standard, you know, the president's body man to a certain extent. How has this kind of behavior or anything similar to this ever occurred before?
Here's the stupid question, all right? He's asking it. Has it ever occurred before? Like, this guy he's asking has inside information on this.
Exactly.
Knowledge with Secret Service agents?
No, not to my knowledge, not this kind of thing at all. You know, there have been concerns in the Secret Service about people not being very happy with their jobs, being overworked, stressed, that kind of thing, but never this kind of behavior. It's just not what's expected of the Secret Service. You know, there's a zero policy in the service. You're not allowed to do these kinds of things. And indeed, you know, we should be really...
That's a zero policy in any profession, is it not?
I would say so.
I don't recall filling out any job applications, and they said, by the way, if you want to fuck any of the girls that work here, feel free to do so. Beautiful, what about yourself?
I agree with you. Free to do so for taking whatever you'd like.
Yay!
A little bit careful. There's no suggestion that any of the people who surround the president, those bodyguards who are right with him all the time, were in fact part of this scandal, if I can use the word. We're talking about an advance team that was sent in to organize for the trip, to organize the hotel where they were all staying, to make sure that everything was set for the president's arrival. You know, some of those people were supervisors, were senior. I think that's troubling. The fact that there were military people also involved is as well troubling. And
all right, now, how do you make on this now? Because they actually found three of them to be guilty of what they were charged of doing based upon the interviews they had with them.
Well,
but I want to add this before you answer. Take a listen to this, though. The three that they found were, like they said, supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
One of them actually got to retire with a pension.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of symbolizing the good old boy network?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's guilty. They forced him to leave, but yet they gave him his retirement. Now, I don't know, dude, if this is right or wrong. You've been with a company for 20 years. You're set to retire right at about your 19th year, or you're at the place where you can go and still get, you know, full percentage of your retirement. And you turn around and you pull a fast one and do something like this, either rob the place or bang a broad, just do something against company policy. Mm-hmm. Should you still be entitled to leave and be entitled to resign rather than be terminated for abusing company policy and keeping your pension? What's your take on that?
Well, here's the thing. First off, the pension is something that you've earned and contributed into with a percentage of your salary.
Okay.
For the years that you put in. If they give them the choice to resign or be terminated, that is saying, listen, either say you're going to leave on your own free will and we'll let you collect your pension, or if you want to be a dick, we'll terminate you and you're going to lose your pension. So, yeah, it is kind of the good old boy network, but you know what? It's their money, plain and simple.
Okay.
And you know, they are men. Men are attracted to women.
Yep.
Now, whether they were...
Right, go ahead, because you know what I'm going to come at you with.
Right, exactly. I know military and cops and all these people are supposed to be considered on the clock, 24/7, whatever. But you know what?
Now, they never said, though, if this was off-duty or not. Now, because... I know when you're Secret Service and you guard the president, you're on duty all the time, unless you're relieved.
Right.
These guys had nothing to do with being his personal bodyguard. These were just people that were sent in the sweep. What if this incident occurred, and I don't think they ever brought this to light, if it occurred after the fact? After the fact, like, they got done with their tour, they were done, they wanted to get a bitch and get laid, they did, they had this problem. I mean, I if that's the case, it's on its own personal time, and I don't know if prostitution is legal there. It might be.
Right. Or maybe during the sweep, they went into the room and seen her, you know, naked, tied up to the bed, you know, and she, you know, she was supposed to be a gift for the president. And like you guys said, they had to test her out, make sure there wasn't a bomb in her pussy.
Right, Beauf?
Yeah, correct.
Pussy. See? So maybe they were doing their job.
That is correct, Jimmy boy. And yeah, I mean,
brilliant.
The Secret Service is supposed to be thorough. And that's what I call being thorough.
Right. You know, he got down there, he licked a little, made sure he didn't taste any gunpowder.
Oh, God, licking.
He's a jackass.
I think that's what we have to get at, and just see how extensive this really was, and whether, as some politicians in this country are saying, had this happened before, but we really never heard about it.
Paul, I understand that the military is doing a separate investigation. And despite the fact, as you mentioned, that none of the agents were assigned to Obama's personal security detail, this still has to be embarrassing for President Obama, especially during...
Why does it have to be embarrassing for him, though? This is the part I don't understand, though. I mean, it's a black eye for this Secret Service, not for the president himself, because he is not in charge of these guys. He's in charge of the ones around him. Directly, but like I just said, if I don't know if we can look this up, but is if prostitutes are legal there? What if these guys were in Vegas at Dennis's place, and they wanted to go into the Bunny Ranch and have a good old time with some of the girls and hang out with Dennis, and they had sex there? I mean, and the media got wind of it. But if they're off duty, it's legal to have sex in Nevada in a brothel,
right? Sure.
They haven't committed any fucking crime. They haven't done anything. Unless in their Secret Service contract it states you cannot get laid and pay for it, then they're fucked.
Right. Well, I'm going to answer. I'm going to hopefully try to answer two of the questions you just asked there. So, I think first off, the president is always going to end up taking blame for anybody involved in his administration during the time of his
tenure.
Right. And because the thing is, he might not have hired these people himself, right, or appointed these people, but the people that he appointed other people that appointed these people. So in an indirect way, he is responsible. That's the way the media plays it. That's the way the public looks at it.
Yeah, but don't you think that maybe this is getting dragged out a little bit?
Oh, of course, dude. It's the media.
To me, yeah. I mean, but even in the public opinion, there's two ways of telling a story. Okay, listen to this. If I said to you, there was a beef with this dude I know with a prostitute, yo, he said she didn't do a great job. You know, he went to the Bunny Ranch. Here's an example. Nothing against Dennis. We love Dennis and the Bunny Ranch. He went to the Bunny Ranch, had a problem with one of the girls. They didn't service him properly. He went to Dennis, complained, wanted his money back, you know. And, you know, Dennis accommodated him, gave him his money back. The girl made a stink about it. Done, right?
Okay,
that's story one. Story two. Yo, my buddy's a cop, dude. He went to go get his dick sucked, bro. So he went to the Bunny Ranch, and this chick really fucking didn't blow him right. So he went to Dennis complaining and said he was a cop and all this shit, and he got his money back. That's story two.
Yeah.
Which one are you going to go, what was a cop doing in the Bunny Ranch, dude? Well,
first, I wouldn't say that to either story.
On duty or not. I mean, if he was off duty, so what? He can go Bunny Ranch or wherever he wants.
Exactly. But that's my point I'm making, though.
Me, as a general person, it wouldn't matter to me if he was a cop, fireman, or a fucking, you know, burger packer. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't fucking matter to me. But that's getting back to what I was saying. The mainstream media has to make a big deal of it, because that's the only way they could get ratings, and they develop the quote-unquote public opinion.
Yeah.
That they put out there that they claim is public opinion. You run that media story with that specific media affiliate that's doing the story, they're going to give you one quote-unquote public opinion. If we sat here right now and took calls from their demographics, I will guarantee you that the public opinion is much different than what that broadcasting affiliate claims is the public opinion.
Right. Well, I don't think that here, but I agree with what you're saying. They didn't specify here public opinion, but they're making their own opinion on this. And the one thing that people, like with me, you know, like I like we're saying this. We're the public. I'm coming out saying it's about the Secret Service. I said, you know, if prostitution is legal and these guys could have been done with their tour, who gives a fuck? That's like saying that they were seen at an Applebee's in Columbia drinking beer and having a 2 for $20. Okay. So what? But if they twist it around, oh, the Secret Service, there's photographs of them drinking beer at a bar. They're not telling you the fact that, A, they're off duty. B, they're allowed to do that. C, they're human. You see, those three elements do not come into the story. We don't know if these guys were on duty. Were they on duty when they had sex with a prostitute, number one? Number two, is prostitution legal in Colombia, yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to know. Then we can form an opinion on this. If they were working, they were on the clock getting paid with tax dollars, and they're out there banging broads and doing drugs and drinking, fuck you, dude. I want them all terminated. Hell the fuck yeah.
That job.
Hell yeah. Where do I sign up?
Mm-hmm.
That's my fucking point. You know, and that's why when you listen to the story, listen how I'm going to play the rest of it now, how they start whining and twisting toward Obama and blaming him. This looks like a black eye for the election. But the other dude on the other side they're talking to disagrees. Take a listen.
An election year.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure if the election really plays into it. Or
right there. I'm not sure it really plays into it because he knows that there's more to this and he's not going to push the quote-unquote envelope of stupidity down the line.
Either that or he's a supporter, either one of the two. Yeah,
exactly. But even if you're not a supporter, it doesn't matter. You still want to sit there and know those facts about Colombia.
Right, exactly.
Just like you could smoke Cuban cigars in Cuba. But if you take them out of there and you bring them to the U.S., it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were in Cuba having a great Cuban cigar and enjoying a Cuban cigar, and they take photos, would you be like, oh, fuck, look at those guys smoking Cuban cigars? It's legal to do so there.
Mm-hmm.
So what the fuck are we black-eyeing something in another country that has nothing to do with the U.S.?
Or not, but I think it's just told sort of the you know, the breach of confidence, really, about this service. You know, there's a uniform section, and then there's a special agent section. And it really is considered a very important part of security in the country. I mean, young men come out of the military, and they want to join the Secret Service because it has this extraordinary reputation. You get to travel. You get to work out of the White House or around the White House. It's really a very important job. And I think it's mostly the loss of reputation that really will make Americans question whether the Secret Service is as good as they've always believed it to be.
Well, here's something to add to this, though. When you talk about public opinion,
mm-hmm.
as long as you've known about the Secret Service, how many bad or negative instances can you recall in your lifetime? Besides this one.
Honestly, I don't recall any because, I don't think that the media has made anything of. I'm sure things have happened, but nothing that I could remember because I don't either. First off, it was never reported like it is today because of all of the media attention and everything. And two, if it was something and I just don't remember, it probably wasn't anything that crazy that would warrant being remembered.
Agreed upon. Beef, what about yourself? Do you recall any Secret Service negative stories other than this one in your lifetime?
Not that I can recall.
My point exactly. So, like I said, this is being made gigantic. I think you should give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt that they do a hell of a job. They've been able to protect presidents since I've been around. Reagan was the only one I can recall being shot when I was growing up. But other than that, they've done a fantastic job. So like I said, with this here, yeah, okay, yeah, it's fucked up, but what are the circumstances? I need to know the circumstances. If you're going to put these guys on trial, which they didn't, they got rid of them based upon public opinion. or based upon what they found. I don't know because it's classified. Whatever they found and they came to their conclusion that they're terminating is classified. We'll never know it. All you're going to hear about in the media is, well, this one was asked to leave with his pension, this one was forced to resign, and the other one was terminated. That's all we've heard. So I'll let the rest of this play out.
I think the idea, though, because it's an election year, everybody, he wants everybody to be on their best behavior. And if it's any kind of, you know, any bad press is tied to his name, there's sometimes concern.
Yeah, and don't forget, it's not just the president of the United States that they're protecting. It's also some of the other candidates. So it does go wider than just, you know, the White House and the president. There are a lot of other public figures that also get Secret Service coverage. And, you know, in Washington, you see the Secret Service everywhere. They are the people who protect the White House, protect all of the buildings. I mean, I've often been kicked out of local parks trying to do on cameras by Secret Service agents who keep saying to us, you can't be here, you can't be there. And so, you know, they do have a huge amount of power, certainly in this town in Washington.
All right, CTV's Paul Workman. Thanks, Paul.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, so do you want to add anything to this before we move on, Beauf? Go right ahead.
No, I just don't understand why they're wanting to put the heat on them.
Exactly. I mean, until we don't know publicly, like I said. I agree with that. Jimmy?
Well, yeah, I just want to make the second point I was gonna say before, to try and answer some of this. For some reason, the United States, the media, the law, you know, whether it's federal, state, or local, they always seem to want to flex their muscles. Like you said, we don't know if prostitution is legal there. You can't smoke a Cuban cigar here, but you can down there because, like you said, it's legal down there.
Exactly.
Back to something that we spoke about a long time ago. For instance, you know, go to Japan or the Netherlands or whatever. It's a whole different culture. It's a whole different way of life, whole different set of laws. You know, you could go there abiding by their laws, their culture, have sex. Like these guys went down there, had sex with a prostitute. Who knows? That could be legal down there. You go to Japan, have sex with somebody in Japan that is of legal age to give consent. Same with the Netherlands. The person comes back here to the States, they could be arrested. If that person is thought of here as not being of legal age, well, who are you to enforce a law against somebody in another country, another culture, where everything is? That's just like saying you could go over there, you know, smoke a bowl with somebody and then come back here and get arrested for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That bothers me that they have to try and flex their law muscles when they have no right to. When, you know, whether you're on the clock or not, whether it's a company or a, you know, agency, whatever. If you're in a different country and you're abiding by the rules and laws of that country, and it is on your quote unquote free time, not time that you're actually getting paid for, it's your time. You should be able to, everyone says, go there, enjoy the local culture, enjoy the local cuisine, enjoy the local sights. Well, if you do that, then you have to come home and worry about getting arrested or not.
Yeah.
Might have smoked a bone because it was legal there. You might have had sex with somebody because it was legal there. You might have done whatever because it's legal there. But then you come home and get it. No, that's wrong, dude. And that fits right into this story. They're making a big deal because they want ratings. They are making a big deal because they want to show that, oh, we're all almighty, all powerful. And, you know, that's why a lot of people have some problems with us. Because they're like, who the hell are you? This is us. This is our thing. Leave us alone. Fine. You live by your thing over there. You come here, you live by our thing. But in the same thing, we should live by their thing when we're over there, wherever.
I agree. Beauf, you want anything to this?
No, I'd have to agree with Jim. Like, if you're in our country, you got to follow their rules. Just because you might, something's legal in our country and you come back over here, doesn't mean you have the right to enforce a law on that person over here because they did it in our country and it was illegal over there.
All right. Good points on that, guys. All right. Let's get into this. lately we've had a rash of stories with welfare abuse. And you remember the one we did, Jim, it was the lottery winner.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, that was about 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, Buf, you recall that, right?
Yes, I do.
Now, wait till you hear this. That was bad enough where the girl won the lottery and she was still collecting welfare and food stamps. Take a listen to this shit and tell me this is another reason why. And you want to say this over and over again. Listen to the dollar amount of this. Listen to what they did. And then when you ask the question, oh, what's wrong with this country? Why don't we have money for Social Security? Why don't we have money for the elderly, for Medicaid, for people that need it, and food stamps and stuff for people that need it? What's wrong with this country? Here's another fantastic story as to why we're fucked up.
This is worse than getting out of jail free. A drug suspect in Massachusetts may have posted bail on the taxpayer's dime. He used his one phone call to send a friend to the ATM with his welfare card, asking him to cash it out and set him free.
What do you think of that so far?
Unfucking believable.
This guy deals drugs, gets arrested, calls his buddy up, tells him where his EBT card is.
Yo, my EBT.
Tells him where it is, which is your welfare card to buy food. Gives him the PIN number, sends him to an ATM. He cashes it out and bails the guy out of jail.
Unfriggin' believable.
What?
What's wrong with this country? Need I say anything else?
Nope.
Listen more.
Joining us now is Massachusetts State Representative Shauna O'Connell, who's trying to put a stop to practices like this. Good morning, Representative O'Connell. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Great, thanks.
So my understanding of this is that this fellow, the defendant, a convicted drug dealer, got on the phone and said to his friend, go get my electronic benefits transfer card, my EBT card.
Yo, my EBT, yo.
My welfare card, and go get me money so I can post bail. Is that true?
That is true. And the police officer heard that and felt so strongly about it, he actually wrote it in his report so that we would know that happened. And the reason that can happen is because the state of Massachusetts hands out $415 million a year.
$415 million a year. Are you with me on this, Jim?
Yes. Yes, I am with you, and it's disgusting.
I'll repeat that. $415 million, Buf.
Way too much.
Taxpayer money.
$415 million tax dollars for these SOBs to do what he did.
Drug dealers.
Exactly. Exactly. $415 million of our dollars.
And you know what? How many of the drug users, not just the dealers, how many of the users are using their EBT benefits to buy the drugs?
Yeah. Well, exactly. But here's a big problem, though, in Massachusetts, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but the rest of the country may not be aware of the state of opportunity, is what it should be called, Massachusetts, where they give it to just about anybody that floats in or drops in or crawls in or whatever they do. Anything that they do to get into that state, they get free health care and they get access to this. But this is how unsupervised this all is. Okay? It's so fucking unsupervised, the fact that they allow them to use the card at an ATM to cash out their entire benefit. So if you have like a $500 or $1,000 monthly allotment for food or whatever it's got to be, you don't have to buy that. You could just go up to an ATM, put your PIN in, and take the cash out and put it in your hand.
Yeah, you know, it's just as bad here in Connecticut as it is in Massachusetts. In Puerto Rico, my ex-brother-in-law, actually took a picture and sent it to me. There's a billboard, a street billboard down there in Puerto Rico that says, move to Waterbury, Connecticut. The welfare system's the easiest or the best there. It's the easiest place to get welfare.
Wow.
It says it right there, Waterbury, Connecticut.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it when he sent me that picture.
That's unfucking believable. And, you know, In looking at this, though, this is a fucking disgrace, though. Let me play some little more of this.
And the reason that can happen is because the state of Massachusetts hands out $415 million a year.
Exactly. You know, I had to bring that clip back again. Can you believe those numbers?
It's unbelievable.
And cash assistance to people that they can go to an ATM and take out all of their cash assistance. So if you get $500 a month in cash assistance, you can go to the ATM and take out $500 a month, and we do not know how you're spending it.
But don't you think that that is a major fucking problem? You know, we sit here and we talk about earmarks and pork and bills and all this other crap, okay? And then we have a system that is so fucked up and so outdated and so out of control, okay, that it just blows my fucking mind how the government doesn't have money for things that we need, necessity things we need, but they sit there and they allocate $415 million for a year to just give it out on blank debit cards / EBT. And don't have accountability for it. And, you know, this is not just there. If you recall with Hurricane Katrina, they gave all these cards to the people that were affected, rightfully so. They deserved them because of that catastrophe that they went through. But the majority of the ones that they moved to Texas to put them into homes and places to live, they were spending their EBT cards in strip joints. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, we know this. It's insanity in a handbasket. It's so out of control.
You know, it's not only the system. It's the merchants. Every merchant is, you know, accepting EBT cards now. And so it's the merchant's fault. It's the merchant servicing company's fault because they make it so easy for other merchants to accept EBT cards.
Right. Right.
You know, the system is broken. I don't have a problem with giving, you know, 3, 4, 5, you know, 100, 200, 600, whatever in cash assistance, the 2, 3, 4, 5, 600, whatever for food assistance to the people that legitimately need it and use it for legitimate purposes. I don't have a problem with that. It's the people that abuse the system as the drug dealers, drug users, like we did that story, I think it was last year, you know, the drug dealer with the Cadillacs and the Mercedes and all of that yeah. crap and collecting like $1,000 a month. You know, those are the ones that abuse the system, and the system is broken because we can't stop them from abusing it. The woman that needed to feed her kids and couldn't get it. Those are the people that need it and should get it. And, you know, maybe she'd get more than the $400 a month or $500 or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I agree with you. The system is broken. How do you fix it? That's the $25 million question. How do you, or I should say the $415 yeah. million dollar year question.
Exactly.
How do you fix it? Well, you know, and
there is one thing. Well, there's a couple things that they can do to fix this problem, plain and simple. Okay. EBT, welfare, and public assistance and all this good stuff should be for people that worked. People who've worked and paid into the system, paid taxes. If they have a loss of a job, which so many Americans are facing today, they are entitled to it because they worked for it and earned it. Like I said, not a person that is not of this origin, but comes from a different origin and just happens to come in because, hey, I want to be in America. That's great, buddy. Do you have a place to live? No. Do you have a job? No. Okay, so how do you plan on being in America? I want to live in Manhattan. I want to live in a townhome in Manhattan overlooking the city. I want to drive a fucking Bentley. I want to have 15 dogs or 19 wives. I want to do all those things, dude. If I said that to you, realistically, between the two of us, the first thing out of your mouth would be, hey, dude, how are you going to afford that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are you going to work to support a townhome in a penthouse in Manhattan? I'm just going to go into the office and tell them I need money. and they're going to give it to me. I mean, where is the difference in that? Someone that doesn't live in this country, no matter where it is, says, I want to live in New York or Connecticut or Vegas or California or anywhere. Where is the premise that when they walk in and they go, we just got here from another country without giving this any thought at all, no thought process whatsoever. We just want to be here, even though I don't have a job. My wife doesn't have a job. I've got 50 kids or two or one or whatever the scenario might be. Where do you turn around and you go, well, okay, go to that window over there. We're going to give you this card so you can get everything that a person is working for in this country and pays taxes for and pays for. We're going to give it to you for nothing just because you just got here. How does that work? I've moved from state to state. And never, when I left New York and went down to Florida, there wasn't a sign that said, go here and we'll set you up with a place to live, food, and we'll give you medical. No, I didn't see that sign. Did I miss it on 95 when I was driving down? Or is it a private sign for privileged individuals? Which you know, that would be discrimination, though, if that was the case.
Yeah,
you'd be discriminating against me.
It actually is, and it's a hidden sign. It's a hidden discrimination, and nobody's bringing light to that. But you're right. You know, somebody could come from a different country, and you know the first words in English that they learn is, you know, when's my welfare check going to get here? But they'll get it. But yet somebody that, like you were saying, somebody that worked and paid taxes and put in and this and that, wouldn't be able to get it. You know, I'll put a little twist on it. It's not welfare. It's unemployment. But, you know, for years and years and years, you know, all my different businesses, I paid in, I did this, I did that.
Yeah.
You know, for a while I was, when I was.
And you even employed people and gave people a job.
And paid their taxes, you know, my portion of their taxes that as an employer I was responsible to pay. You know, and the thing was, at one point after I, you know, was out of work for a little bit and I went to go collect some unemployment because I was unemployed, keyword, unemployed, I was denied. After all the years of paying,
yeah,
not only my own unemployment.
Exactly.
You know, people don't understand a portion. When you look at your check and it's got the FICA and all of that taken out, they don't understand that the employer has to put that money aside, okay, and send it into the unemployment agency on your behalf. It's
right.
Not like you get it and pay it. The employer. Then on top of that, there's one portion of that the works out in here in Connecticut, I think it's 7.5% that they take out for one of your state withholding or the FICA, I'm sorry. The employer's not only going to mail that in, but he's got to match that, he or she, got to match that and put it in out of their pocket. So the employer pays really double, pays your portion and their portion.
Right.
Okay, I did all of this, and then when it was time that, you know, I needed, month, 2 months, three, whatever it was, of some unemployment because I was in between working, they told me I didn't qualify.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, but, yeah. You know, but this is what we're talking about. It's a system that for some apparent reason doesn't have any issues when these clowns get it and do what they need to do. But when people like yourself or myself or a working person that's been working all their life needs it, now they have an issue and they want to be judgmental and say no. That's
right.
The part that really gets me.
So virtually these have become ATM cards and not EBT cards.
Now, what can be done to stop that? Where is the governor of Massachusetts on this issue? And what other forms of abuse can take place? I read something. Can I go on a cruise with this card?
You can pretty much do anything with this card right now. There are no restrictions on it, so you can use it at any store. You can use it at a nail salon, a tattoo parlor. And the point is that because you can get cash, you can just take the cash and go buy anything you want. So
where is the responsibility of the federal government on this? Why is it that the federal government sees fit to spend my tax dollars and your tax dollars on drug dealers to get out of jail?
I don't know. It's the individual states that run this, but the individual states set this in place. But yes, they do get subsidized by the federal government too. And they said, "Where's the governor on this?" Well, the past governor, I guess, is running against Obama to be
to
be our next president.
Yeah, Romney.
Yeah, because I'm sure he, I'm sure that all of the governors, over the past however many years had something to do with, massaging that, because it comes up in pretty much every session, something to do with massaging the system. So they all had a little hand in it. And I'm not trying to single him out saying he's good or bad or whatever. I just was making a joke because he said, where is he? Joke didn't come off as good as I thought it would.
It happens.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not only the state, but like you said, the federal too, because they get subsidized a little bit.
They oversee it. Right. How does a state ask for X amount of dollars a year, and they don't have to turn in any paperwork? I don't know whatever companies you ever worked for in your lifetime, but if you're a company and you are dealing with cash flow, which you used to. I mean, you had your businesses and cash flow was a big part of it. And for people that don't understand what cash flow is, you actually can go to a bank and you ask for money. You're actually going to ask for loans or something to make payroll or make the mortgage or the rent on the store and all that good stuff. That's a part of your cash flow. But you know it as well as anybody. When you go to the bank and you ask about it, the one thing the bank tells you is what is it for?
Yeah, and then the next question is, how liquid are you?
Exactly.
They want to know, if you're going to tell them, oh, I need $10,000, they're going to say, how liquid are you? In other words, do you have, that plus in liquid assets, meaning, cash somewhere or accounts receivables coming in, something liquid that we know we could get our money back right away? So you're right. Where's the accountability by the state of Massachusetts to be liquid to the federal government to fund this money going to the drug dealer to bail them out of jail?
Yeah, but yet let them sit there and say they don't have money for the elderly, for Medicaid to help them, and we're going to cut Medicaid to the elderly, people that really fucking need it. We're gonna cut that out. We're not going to give you the meals that we were supplying and the rides to the doctor, all the things that you need to survive because you paid taxes for fucking 65 years. We're going to fuck you, and we're going to just give this money to some fucking scumbag, cocksucking piece of shit lowlife so he can continue to do what he does and keep getting out of jail when he gets arrested. So all the elderly people of Massachusetts, fuck you. You're not going to eat anymore. We don't give a fuck about you. We don't give a fuck about you going to the doctor. Die of whatever ailments you got. Fuck you. This is more important. We do not have any fucking regulations on it. We don't care where the money goes. Nobody gives a shit.
Right. You could die, but we got to bail this drug dealer out of jail.
Exactly. So, exactly.
What I've done is filed a bill that says no more cash access. And that's the only way that we are going to stop the problem of abuse.
Is the governor behind this bill? I mean, it seems so much like common sense. The fact that taxpayers would have to finance someone's crime spree, or their, if in fact this person is guilty of such a crime, or their ability to be free on bail pending the disposition of the charges. Where's the governor on this?
Unfortunately, the governor is not supportive of the reforms that I've put forward in my bill. And it's really unfortunate because we need to reform this program to restore integrity to the program, to protect taxpayer dollars.
Well, the people that vote in Massachusetts, send the message to the governor. Kick him the fuck out of office.
Exactly. And you know what? I'm gonna throw down a Trump card, sweeten the pot here a little bit. He just said, fund their crime spree if indeed he's convicted. I'll go you one better. He's going to turn around and ask whatever the worker or whatever window he goes up to, hey, geez, I need a lawyer now and I can't afford it. And guess what? There's a system. In the system, there's a department called legal aid,
yeah.
And they'll pay for an attorney for him, too, on top of that.
Yeah, it's great.
Sweeten the pot, dude.
It's
sweeten
great.
The pot.
It's wonderful. This is wonderful. I'm really proud of the new state of opportunity we have in America.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
And all we're hearing from the governor's office are really these kind of anecdotal one-liner talking points and nothing substantive. So they're standing in the way of reform rather than backing it up. And this is a bipartisan bill that I filed. I have a lot of support among my colleagues.
Representative, we're so happy you're here. In terms of reform and substance, come back to us. Tell us the real story because our listeners and viewers want to know about this. We'll be talking
again. I'd be glad to.
Good to see you, Representative. Thanks. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, this is really fucking pathetic. I mean, but once again, though, I want to hear how bad this country is and we're in such tough shape. And every municipality and government has been cutting back from education to teachers' pay to police officers to firefighters, civil service employees, all being cut back, all of it, because they don't have money for these programs. And they're sitting there like grabbing a sponge trying to squeeze out, oh, where can we save a million here, so they can get on TV and go, well, we cut out four fire departments, so we saved the city about $36 million, you know, for the fiscal year. How about you cut the $415 million, you stupid motherfucker? You don't think that would help?
Mm-hmm.
Unfucking believable. Beau, if you want to touch on this before we move into my favorite part of the show.
No, I mean, basically y'all summed it up pretty well. The system's messed up. Now it was it in your old state of Florida? Didn't they just recently pass something about requiring drug tests now to collect benefits or food stamps,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, they were pushing for that, and the people that were on the program on welfare were all fighting against it and said that it was against the, why do they have to take a drug test? Why is it when somebody goes to get a job, an employer gives them a drug test? Why is it when you collect free money, you don't have to do anything? I don't understand it. But once again, though, it's the new American way, though. We don't want to offend anybody by telling them something like that. We just don't want to do that. So
right. we have to go out and get drug tests so we can work, so
right.
They can go get their benefits.
Exactly. We have to go do everything that's correct so that they can be happy. All right. Let's move into this. You guys ready for this?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yours are my favorite part of the show. Listener submitted news stories. These are email news stories submitted by you, the listeners. If you got a news story you want to send to the show, send it to uchishow@gmail.com. All right, let's get it started off. Guys, say hello to Jackie of Virginia.
Jackie, what's up?
Good evening, Jackie.
All right. Jackie writes, great show, guys. I listen to you on my iPhone every week. Jim, what does that mean, baby?
It means Jackie's iPhone don't suck anymore.
Well, there you go. Check out this dumb bitch. Teachers are supposed to lead by example. All right.
God.
Yeah, here we go. Former substitute teacher faces felony misdemeanor charges. Whitehall, Arizona. A former Whitehall substitute teacher faces numerous felony and misdemeanor charges for the acts that allegedly took place with students. Fox 16 says here has learned that Jefferson County prosecutor Cale Hunter charged Maria Sizemore with two counts of first-degree sexual assault and one count of second-degree sexual assault Tuesday. Sizemore was also charged with providing alcohol and contributing to delinquency of minors. Investigators say Sizemore hosted a party for junior high school and high school students, had sex with three of them, and provided them with alcohol. Sizemore is currently out on bond. Her attorney had no comment at this time. According to the report, Sizemore had previous misdemeanor convictions of child endangerment after a Jefferson County Sheriff's deputy says he spotted Sizemore's son riding on the running board of an SUV as she drove. After her conviction, a judge required Sizemore to wear an electronic monitoring system. Dude, take a look at that fucking photo.
Yep. And she got all three holes stuffed at the same time, they said, right?
Yeah. Great. All righty. Yeah, very hot and sexy. Jim, take the next one, please.
Oh, geez, thanks. All right, guys, say hi to Mike of Dallas, Texas.
Mike, what's going on? Thank you very much for your email.
What's up, Mike?
Okay, Mike writes, hello, guys.
Yeah,
there you go. Let me start off by saying how refreshing your show is.
Not the first time we've heard that.
Exactly. I download your show from iTunes.
Jim?
His iDevice don't suck anymore.
There you go.
This is the type of story that makes you shake your head and say WTF.
Beautiful. What does WTF stand for?
What the frack?
Word up.
Mother Joker.
Oh, God, dude. Story caption.
Mute.
Ready for this?
Go for it.
Go. Man says, I've got your dead daughter's ashes, and I'm going to snort them.
Dude, I know we're not supposed to, but if you look at the mugshot, isn't it a little Nightmare on Elm Street Freddy Krueger action?
Yeah, that is definitely Freddy Krueger Road right there, because that's a pretty sick picture.
I'm telling you.
It looks like he's got holes in his face, and his skin looks like it's melting, like dripping off his face.
Ugh. Oh, God.
He's sexy, and he knows it.
Folks could get nasty after a breakup. And then there is Joseph Wayne Pointer.
Three name, hillbilly, Freddy Krueger, cousin alert.
The 51-year-old Lakeland man allegedly drove past the mother's house of a deceased woman and shouted, I've got your dead daughter's ashes, and I'm going to snort them.
What a fucking scumbag.
This is according to an arrest affidavit in Lakeland. The deceased woman's sister told deputies she thinks Pointer stole her sister's ashes during the time the two briefly lived together.
Now, how would you think, by not knowing if they're there in your house or there? If they're not, then you know that it's gone. Now, how can you think that he might have done it if they're there or not?
Brilliant! Well,
obviously, they're not there, and she said she thinks he's the one that took them. That's the way I see it. The story.
They just didn't word it properly.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Can I put my finger in your ass?
No. Who the hell would live with that thing?
I don't know.
He's sexy and he knows it.
You know, I could picture him snorting them ashes. He just looks like the type of person that would.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with you right there.
Dude, it's sick even just to say that as a vindictive comment.
Enlarge that picture and see if that's some kind of, like, wax on his
lesion face. On his fucking face. Enlarge that picture. Hell no.
Already vindictive comment to piss somebody off, that is just disturbing.
I've already flipped the fucking page. I don't want to have nothing to do with that. I'm ready to move on.
Oh, this next story is just as good, dude.
Yeah. All right. Beauf, you got this one.
Uh-oh. Okay, this story was sent in by Miss Carol of Brooklyn, New York. Everybody say hi to Miss Carol.
Hey, Carol, thank you very much for your email.
Hey, Carol, what's up, girl?
She says, hello, Uchi.
Hey.
Hello, Carol.
The story link I have attached contains a story that is hard to believe. Also, she listens to your show on Uchi 24/7.
Uchi 24/7.
Oh, Lord, what a fart. Okay. Thank God we ain't got that going on. Okay, the story's entitled Cancer Con. Fake doctor told women they had cancer and he could cure them with his perverted treatments.
Nice. What a dick.
Nah, I think that's what he was waving at him.
Reginald Keel, age 77, believing they had cancer, what? And told one victim she could be cured if a man sucked her breast.
That's fucking terrible.
Thomas.
It's not funny, dude. That's wrong. That's so fucking wrong. Dude,
it's not no wronger than snorting some dead chick's ass.
Yeah, but you tell that's somebody that's deceased. Yeah, that's fucked up. This is wrong.
Because, well, maybe the doctor thought that.
It's a genius, though.
No, but dude, how is it if you go into, if a woman comes into your office, you're pretending to be a doctor. She, I think I have cancer. Yeah, I think you do. That's terrible. And then she goes, oh my God, I have cancer. And you go, well, listen, if you let me fuck you three times in the ass and suck both your nipples at the same time, I can cure it. Really?
That's wrong.
Really?
If you're in an office situation, that's wrong. But just picture, you know, the
any situation that's wrong.
Dude.
I mean, it is. Will about.
Dude, wait. He's in the park on his little scooter thing there, his scoot around. And, you know, he rolls up to some chick on the park bench. She's feeding the doves or whatever. You know, and he says, hey, you know, if you got cancer, I could cure it by sucking your tits.
Yeah, who believes it? Who buys into that, though?
But, Dr. Douchebag.
If she says okay and whips him out, dude, you know, he's motorboating away. That's fucking a genius.
Just looking at that son of a bitch, you'd be like, really?
But, dude, you know how many times he probably got a pair of tits slapped in his face? Come on.
I don't know who's dumb enough to do that.
Anyway, guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
Get this. The bogus doctor was jailed for 8 years yesterday after dreaming up the perverted cancer treatments so he could sexually abuse female patients. Reginald Gill, age 77, conned women into believing they had cancer and told one victim her condition could be cured if a man sucked her breast for 30 minutes a day.
Is that 15 on each one, dude? That's fucked up. Fucking Jim's laughing away, dude. I think it's so wrong.
Wait, look at the age of his wife. Come on, tell me this guy isn't fucking brilliant.
Hey, I have to agree with Tim. I mean, the guy is brilliant. Listen to this. Gil and his wife, Leela, age 35.
He's 77.
Yeah, he's 77. She's 35. Now, I got my age limits, but I can see that. Ran an alternate medical center from their bungalow, not out of their bungo, where they abused two women. Judge Keith Thomas told Gill, they said they would go through any humiliation and shame to cure themselves. So now, if they agree to it, hey. I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
Hey, if they're going to show up to some backyard alley fucking bungalow because, you know, they're just looking for something to, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying shame on them for being sick or anything like that, but if you're not going to go to a real doctor and you're going to go to, like I said, some backyard bungalow, and the guy says, oh, yeah, let me suck your tits for a half hour a day and you'll be fine, you know, duh.
Maybe they couldn't afford to go to the medical because of the fact that the $415 million was being used to bail some drug dealer out of jail, not given the correct medical benefit to a woman like this that needed it.
You might be onto something.
Exactly.
After giving them the horrifying diagnosis, you submitted them to degrading treatment. You also convinced your wife to go along with your depraved scheme.
That's probably her idea.
You convinced the women to strip naked in front of you, and under the pretense you were administrating beneficial treatment subjected them to sexual assault. Jurors heard the wheelchair-bound Gill told his victims he had been an army doctor, but he had no medical qualifications.
Wow.
Oh, this story's killing me. Anyway, he was found guilty. Yes, I said guilty of 3 sexual assaults, 6 assaults by penetration, and 2 counts of fraud. His young wife was given 6 months after being convicted of sexual assault and fraud. Now, that makes no sense. How come he got 7 years and she only got 6 months?
Well, she only got 6 months because she allowed penetration by the jury and the judge.
Fucking unreal, dude.
John Hopkins, defendant, told Swansea Crown Court it was a quack enterprise motivated by the mistaken belief of Reginald Gill had in his own capabilities. The Gills, whatever the hell that says, arrested last May, had charged their parents. Prosecutor Hughes said Gill kissed a victim in the middle of the stomach after telling her about the perverted breast cure.
Oh, there you go. Thank you very much for that, Beauf.
Oh, thank you. That was a story to...
I want to know what he penetrated them with, because look at the old bastard.
I have no idea.
I know. He couldn't really... I don't know.
All right. Let's jump into this one. Say hello to Tom of New Haven, Connecticut.
Yo, Tommy boy. What's up, neighbor?
Up around Jim's neck of the woods. Hello, Mr. Tom.
Hi, Tom writes, hello, guys. How are you, Tom? Great radio show. Thank you very much. I listen to your show on Uchi 24/7. Very funny. Well, thank you. I thought this was a funny and crazy story for your show. See attached. Thanks. All right, story caption reads, FHP, which I believe is Florida Highway Patrol, car theft suspect caught defecating on the side of I-95. And this time it's a woman, dude.
She don't look too bad, really.
She looks like she's taking the shit.
Yeah, I mean, looks like she'd clean up pretty good. I'd probably do her.
There you go.
I'll miss you on that one.
All right, Fort Pierce, Florida. A woman was arrested and suspected of stealing a car after she was caught defecating on the side of Interstate 95. Says WPBF 25 News. Melissa Mansfield told a Florida Highway Patrol trooper she was going to the bathroom when he approached her on the side of the highway on April 7th. Mansfield stumbled when she was asked her name and driver's license and Social Security number, according to FHP report. She eventually said the car was her boyfriend's, but when the trooper checked the plate number and called the owner said he wasn't familiar with Mansfield. The man said he went inside his home in the Florida Keys for just a minute, and when he came back out, his car was gone. The report said after that, trooper found multiple open beer bottles inside the car. He placed Mansfield, age 31 or 32, under arrest. So the bitch actually stole a car and stopped on the side of the road to take a crap and got busted. Sounds like a beaufy fucking crime there. What you doing on the side of the road, boy? Nothing, officer. The hell was that, boy?
Idiot.
There you go.
The old guy sucking tits. He's still my favorite.
That's got to be story of the night, right?
Oh, definitely.
All right. Because of our time, we're running out, and I've got a ton of things I got to get to. We're going to wrap it up right now. We're going to call it end of the show. Mr. Uchi, got to go. Jim Beauf, thank you guys so much for being a part of the program with me tonight. I really appreciate having you on.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it, and it's always a pleasure, brother.
Yes, sir. Spectacular, Beauf. It was good having you back, bro.
Oh, it's good to be back.
All right. All right, don't forget, log on right now to www.uchi.com, man, and check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Uchi Show. And follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/EUTCHE. End of the show, Mr. Uchi. Got to go. Remember, live your days if it's your last, because one damn day it will be. We'll be back next Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We owe you tea out the door, man. Peace. Hey, don't forget to log on right now to www.euthe. That's uchi.com for everything Uchi Show. While you're there, man, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/euthe. You got Twitter? Check out my tweets, twitter.com/euthe. Yo, check out the best of Uchi on demand on Uchi TV on demand. Log on right now to uchitv.com. Check out past videos and brand new fresh content uploaded daily. uchitv.com. And hey, you got a mobile phone? You want to take us with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Log on right now to uchi.com in the center tab. Select the link for Stitcher Radio. StitcherRadio.com is available for Android, iPhone, BlackBerry, Palm Pre, and Palm Pixie. That's Stitcher Radio and the Uchi Show, man. Log on right now to uchi.com center tab for more details. Everything you want to know is right there at your fingertips. Uchi.com.
What'd that look like? Dogs.